Hello, everyone. It's so wonderful to think that we can connect together, gather together in the name of Jesus. And, you know, I know that it's really difficult when life is so different at the moment for us all, how to make this morning different, separate, because we are worshippers, really. We normally gather together in a certain place together, and but I just love to think that wherever we are, you and I are gathering together in the name of Jesus, and we're uniting around him. So I just wonder if you would just turn your heart and your mind to him in prayer right now, and we just pray together to begin this time of really just hearing his voice and receiving an impartation of grace for our journey through these days. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are here. And wherever your people are, Lord, I thank you for your presence. And we turn our hearts and minds to you today, and we give you praise. Lord, we just, in the way that we can, just right now, we adjust to who you are. And we say that you are our God, and we praise you. And we give thanks to you because you're good. We give thanks to you that you've done so much for us, Lord, through Jesus. And we thank you today. It's a day of good news, and it's a day of blessing. And I thank you, Father, that the richness of everything that you've done for us in Christ will be revealed in a fresh way through your Spirit and your Word to us today. We rely on your Spirit. We rely on your Word, Lord. And we thank you that this is going to make a difference for your glory, but also for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I've been preparing and praying, you know, there's a lot, so much is happening, but I believe there's so much of a surge of prayer in God's people, in God's, in the nation, really, where God's people are. And I've been reading this, it's just been popping up in my heart from Psalm 65. Oh, you who hear prayer, talking about God. Oh, you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. And the psalmist goes on to say, not only do you hear prayer, but in awesome deeds and in righteousness, you will answer us. And it is such a great comfort today, in this moment in our national history, where there is so much heartache, heartbreak, and so much hopelessness in the natural. It's such a comfort to hear the words of Jesus in a fresh way. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Because these are the promises that change how we view everything, every situation that we're in as a nation and the situations we find ourselves in personally. And I believe that as the word comes to us fresh today, that something different is going to happen in our hearts, all of us, because I believe we're to be a people of hope and expectation of good in a day where there is nothing but desperate news. And I'd like you, if you have your Bible, to turn to Mark's Gospel. And we're going to read a familiar story to most of us, about a man who prayed, a man who went to Jesus and asked for a miracle, and how one man can actually affect change in the life of another, and how Jesus works through this man's prayer to bring about an absolute awesome deed or miracle. And we serve a God who isn't just theory, but a God who is present and a God who is working through the prayers of his people to bring about change. And that's the good news. That's the promise. Ask and you will receive. It's not just ask. There's a promise attached to the asking. And in Mark's Gospel, we're going to read from verse 21. So if you're there, let's look at this together. Now, when Jesus crossed over again by the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will be healed, and she will live. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." Now this man, I can imagine the scene at home. And there are so many scenes that we could look at in people's lives all over the country. If you imagine situations in people's homes where a need, a massive need, is happening. And in this man's home, I can imagine them turning to each other, the mum and dad, talking. There is only one hope now, nothing but one way to see a change happen. And this situation had actually got them to the end of all natural resources. And often, beloved, when we come to the end of natural resources, that's when something happens on the inside of us and says, we must go to Jesus. And I believe they discussed it. They talked about it. There is only one hope. You've got to get to see Jesus. Jairus, go. I'll stay with our little girl. Her life is ebbing away. And this man, even though he was a ruler, he was someone who was used to being in charge. This situation, he no longer felt in charge. He was hopeless and desperate in the natural. But he knew one to go to. He heard of one that he could go to. And there is one for every situation in this nation, and his name is Jesus. He is the hope of the nations. He's not just the hope of the church. And Jairus, he left home, and I think it's such an amazing thing for a man to leave what he considers to be a situation where he'd want to stay naturally with his daughter. He left and he went looking for Jesus. Do you think that if anyone looks for him, they won't find him? The Bible says that whoever reaches for him finds him. Whoever seeks him finds him. That God is everywhere present. God is omnipresent. That's the word that the Bible sort of describes, the presence of God everywhere. But God manifests himself to seekers. What a joy to see Jesus when you seek him. And this man went running, desperate. The agony of his heart was overriding everything in him, and he moved towards Jesus. And as he ran, he saw him. God reveals himself, manifests himself to seekers. You will see him when you believe. The Bible says, with the heart we believe, and faith sees him. Unbelief dulls him, and faith relies on the truth and the reality that God is present. For a believer, God is with us always. He lives in us. He's our Heavenly Father. He's our Savior and Lord. But for all who reach for him, he is close. He is near to everyone. And you can find him if you seek him with all of your heart. He saw him. His response was to fall. He fell at his feet. I believe that he saw both his desperate need in that moment of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, he was there, bowed. He was worshipping, he was honoring, but he was a desperate man. I've been on my knees more now in this season than in many a season of my life. We're in a desperate situation where we need God. And it's the prayers of the saints that will change the situation. It's simply that. The effective, heartfelt, fervent prayer of a righteous person makes tremendous power available. Jairus went to the feet of Jesus. There's something so powerful in kneeling before God. There's something so wonderful believing that he is there, seeing him with your heart, bowing at those wonderful feet that still bear the scars of his sacrifice on the cross. But he is not dead. He's alive. He's risen. And he is always present. And he's always available for those who seek him for help. Jairus, you could say he had put all his eggs in one basket. And I know that sounds a little bit trite, but actually all our eggs need to be in one basket. They need to be in Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can change this situation. He bows before the Lord and he prays. And I love his prayer. My little girl, there is the heart of a father, the heart of love, the heart that says, I can't lose. I can't lose her. And this cry, it isn't just a cry for help. Sometimes we shout help, and that's good. But Jairus actually is confident in two things. You can hear it in the prayer. Come and lay your hand on her that she may be healed and live. The confidence that he has in Jesus is different to just desperation. He is confident that he's got the power to change it. We believe in a God who has the power to change it, to change every situation, personal and national. Our God is mighty and he is powerful and he has the ability. But Jairus also knew that Jesus was willing. He wasn't just powerful. He was willing. He had a willingness to help people. He'd heard of it. All the miracles that Jesus did were just a sign of God's goodness and grace flowing through Jesus, his son. And so, in the emergency of that moment, he used faith. He used his faith. He said, come. And he spoke of an outcome in that prayer. He didn't just ask for help. He said, this is what I want you to do. And God and man came together in the same will and purpose for the situation. And Jesus, as soon as he spoke, I believe he got up and began to move. You see, as soon as we pray, he hears us. And it says Jesus, who is God, went with Jairus. Oh, what words. When we pray with faith, with heartfelt prayer, Jesus is going with us. The Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory, the God who's able to do everything, begins to move. I know we've said it before, and you've probably heard it many times, but C.S. Lewis wrote The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe, and he spoke of winter and ice and evil dominating, how the climate of Narnia was on ice, and then Aslan came, and Aslan was on the move. And you could say the King Jesus, through the prayers of one man, never underestimate your prayers, the prayers of one man, God began to move. And I believe, and you do too, I'm sure, that God is moving in this situation. He is changing the climate. He is pushing back the forces of darkness, and the goodness of God is coming in. People speak naturally of green shoots of change, but Jairus had the green shoots in his heart. He knew that his God wouldn't fail him. He knew that Jesus was with him in this prayer. And when we pray for situations, we have personally heartfelt, faithful prayers. When we pray as a people for our nation, heartfelt, spirit-filled, faith-filled prayers, then, beloved, God is on the move. He's walking with us. But Jairus had to face two things. And we do too. And often when we pray, it seems that there's a pause, that the action stops, that we don't see any activity of God. And in fact, it's not kind of like Jesus stops working, because he stops and he ministers to another woman who'd come with an issue of blood. She got healed. But think of Jairus standing there. The thing that he had to get through was time. Because she was getting her miracle, but he was going tick, tock, tick, tock. Time's running out. Jesus, time's running out. My little girl, this is an emergency. And often we feel that we haven't got the time left for a miracle. Things seem to be going downhill. It's just in the natural. Things look like nothing's happening. But still, he kept going with Jesus. He kept trusting him. And then Jesus, while he's still speaking to this woman, ministering to her, news came to Jairus. And if I'm honest, it sounded really cold and heartless. There was no bedside manner in the way this news came. Your daughter is dead. Verse 35, it says, why trouble the teacher any further? Cannot imagine what hit the heart of that dad. Parents, you'll know if your children are in a situation, it just pierces your heart. And don't bother him anymore. There's no point using your faith. There's no point carrying on praying. There's no point carrying on with Jesus. And Jesus has heard what Jairus has heard. You see, there's no bad news that Jesus doesn't hear. But Jesus ignores it because he's God. He's above it. He's beyond it. And he has the power to change everything, even when our last hopes naturally go. At that point, Jesus is going to shine as the greater one than life itself. And Jairus hears Jesus say these words. Jairus, do not be afraid. Only believe. Don't let fear grip your heart in this moment. Don't let the light of hope and faith go out. And beloved, don't let the news of our days, let the light of faith and hope go out in your heart. Jesus is present. And he's saying to you and to me, only believe. Just simple, trust me. Trust me. Expect to be blessed. Expect a miracle outcome. You know the rest of the story. Jesus honed down the crowd and just took a few in. Mum and Dad, Peter, James and John. And Jesus had to go through a crowd that was mourning. You know, faith always moves through the crowd that mourns, but has a different view of an outcome. Jesus always brings a different view on life and what's happening. Jairus kept going in faith, and his faith was rewarded, because it always is. God says, doesn't he? He rewards those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And according to our faith, it will be done. And so in this beautiful miracle of really seeing a girl come back to life, I believe Jesus is saying to his people, pray, seek me, fall at my feet, cry with a heartfelt cry, not just for yourselves, but for the nation, for those people on the hospital wards, for the government, for all in authority, the NHS, for your neighbours. It's a time where God is breathing life. God is on the move. Aslan is on the move. Everything is changing. Winter is passing, and the King of Glory is going to come in through our prayers. Don't lose heart when the news gets worse. Don't let your hearts fail. Men always ought to pray and not give up, Jesus said. But when he comes, will he find faith? It's not just prayer. It's the prayer that believes that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is on the move through your prayers, through my prayers, and he will turn this tide of evil and this death and destruction, and our God, who has the power to change everything, will work through his praying, kneeling, crying out people. I trust that this has spoken right into your heart to minister and breathe fresh life into your faith. I believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord. I believe that we're in a time where maybe news is going to get worse. But God has good news. And God has a way of working with his people, which is a completely different way to those who are not his own yet. And that is only belief. You know, in the nights when I pray, when I wake and think of what's happening to so many in our country, I believe this is a time of great harvest. But, you know, I see myself going through the wards, the COVID-19 wards through hospitals, whether it's Musgrove or all over the nation. I visualize those wards, those suffering people. And I say, Lord, come, breathe on these slain that they may live. Live eternally. Know Jesus with eternal life and receive him as their Savior and Lord. But also to live, that those where it's too young that they should die, where it's not the right time, where naturally speaking it would go that way, God intervene and turn this around. And I smile after I've prayed, because I know he's on the move. I could weep with you for what's happening in our nation. This is not the most professional live stream you'll ever have. But we're a people who believe God. We're a people who trust in a living Savior who says what he says and does what he says. And so our eyes are on him, and we can, beloved, pray. And he promises to heal our land. May you find a new sight of Jesus as you pray. May your heart believe that he is present when you pray. And may you live knowing the King is on the move in your personal lives, your needs, not just physical, material, whatever the need is. Our God is able to do far more. Beloved, we quote it, but let's believe it. Far more than we could ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us. Be a Jairus. Be a praying father. Be a praying man. Be a praying child. Be a praying woman. Let's pray. Let's pray, because everything will change. Father, you said it. Ask, seek, knock, and we will see the answers. And Lord, in this hopeless, desperate situation of so many multitudes, not just in our nation, but all over the world. Thank you. You've given us the joy of coming to you to pray, to seek your face, to humble ourselves before you and to believe you, because all our eggs are in your basket. Everything that we believe and our hope is in you, Jesus. So we lift up our eyes to you and we thank you that you walk with us through this time, on the move, bringing life, casting out the evil, delivering people from evil, and bringing eternal life, and bringing people back to life, healing and saving. Come, Lord, lay your hands on our nation. She will live. She will live. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, let's pray. Let's pray in the morning, let's pray at night. Let's go away from the stuff of life and get on our knees with Jesus. He will answer us. Now, I'd just like to finish with a few notices. Don't forget Pastor Andrea's Faith Booster, which will be coming probably Wednesday this week. Such an amazing thing. You'll find it on YouTube. I've listened to them. I've heard them. They're amazing, and they really help me in my journey. We need all the faith, all the encouragement that we can get in this time. Next Friday is Good Friday, so we're coming into the Easter weekend. And I wonder if you'd like to join me live, live stream midday on Friday and take communion together. Now, I know it won't be appropriate for everyone because you kids or whatever, but maybe you can work around your whatever's going on and join us for communion at 12 on Friday. It won't be left on YouTube for you to access afterwards. It's just live. So if you'd like to join us, that'd be great. And also, a bit of a fun email will be coming to you. Let's see if we can do something as a church family. It'll arrive probably sometime tomorrow. We love you. Pastor Andrew sends huge love. I know Sani too. Wish we could see your faces. But we love you. We don't forget you. You're always in our heart and our prayers. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.